I realize I'm ugly. And so I was a f***ing menace.
Chicago sucks.
Not chill. Very Karen-esque.
Apparently, it's not that the cameras catch you.
Apparently.
Apparently. I caught that late, but we caught it.
Hold on, did you just identify as Gen Z?
I guess we're just live.
We're live. What's up, Patreon subscribers? This is a Patreon-only special.
Hey guys, Editor Nate here. This was initially supposed to be an episode just for the Patreon users, but we kind of liked it and we figured we haven't posted in a while, so this is a one for the people. Hope you enjoy.
Also, it's partially just me and Nate catching up after probably over a month since we talked to each other last. So I told him I wanted to keep it off the record because I wanted to like spill some tea and all that shit, but I also think it's good for us to have content, so if there's any like highlights that come out of this, I think we should put it on like our Instagram reels and TikTok and things like that.
Yeah, we can just edit it out in post. Miguel, one thing, your mic is actually a little too overmodulated. You can need to lower it a little more.
Boop boop beep boop bop beep beep bop. Lowered it. Good.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I think it's good. Why don't you start with your life update? I got a lot. I think you got a lot.
Miguel just came back
from Spain. Let's hear it.
I was in Spain for 2 weeks. The thing that comes to mind right now, if you ask me about Spain, is I got stung by a jellyfish. I don't know if you can see this. I got stung by a jellyfish. You can't really see
But, I can see.
I got stung like almost 2 weeks ago. I was like in the water, you know, me and Maria were like drinking rum, we're chilling in the water, and I'm just kind of like splish splashing with my hands, and all of a sudden it's my first jellyfish sting ever, and I'm just like, ah, what the fuck. Kind of felt like you got shocked or like okay, and it was just on like the back of my thumb, and I was like, ah, what the fuck. And obviously I'm like a couple rums in. So I'm like, okay, well, I know what I'm supposed to do. And so I fucking piss on that bad boy.
Did you really?
And it doesn't do anything, apparently. I Googled it after.
I thought that's a myth. Like, I thought it makes it worse.
It is a myth. It is a myth. It doesn't do anything. I think the warmth gives some relief, but it's not like because of the urine. Anyway, I thought it was okay. Honestly, like looking back, I kind of liked the little like kind of like the feeling. But like 2 weeks later, it's starting to like rash up. Like it's like elevated and getting red. And I was like, is this super weird? But a few people were telling me that it's common that like the microscopic barbs don't act for a while. So super weird to have, like, imagine you're a jellyfish and you're about to die and you're like, fuck you, dude. I will inflict pain on you in 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what comes to mind now.
Know exactly what that's like because I went surfing on Monday and I also got stung by a jellyfish.
Oh shit. Jellyfish bros. Let's go.
Yeah.
Where'd you go surfing? I was surfing?
In Taiwan. We went to like the East Coast shore. So funny story, Miguel and I have gone surfing together. And that time going surfing with Miguel was probably like my fourth or fifth time surfing.
And I was terrible. And
Miguel wasn't terrible. It was more that, for context, I've gone surfing and I only went surfing in Hawaii with like a local at a very private beach. I went surfing in Peru in the middle of the day. So there was nobody surfing and it was like completely empty. And in both scenarios, it's very like low, small waves into the point break. So it's like the waves are all coming in one direction. But Miguel and I went to Puerto Rico to surf on a private beach there. And it's for like intermediate level surfers. We couldn't get past the break. Like we just kept getting thrown back in by the waves.
Yeah, I think the internet was like, this is where the good surfing is. And we're like, oh, hell yeah. All right, let's go.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Like, but like good surfing for people that surf, not good surfing for like absolute beginners.
Complete amateurs. Yeah. Like, because Miguel, you never surfed before, right?
I'd never surfed before. We had this like false confidence that because I could longboard on the streets, that it must be the same thing. And I couldn't paddle out past the break, like you said.
Riding the wave is the easiest part, actually. And like, obviously, there's a little bit of difficulty to it. I would say getting up on the wave is hard, but the hardest part is like just existing out there. like paddling out, like it's so strenuous on your arms, and then like being able to sit on the board without like tipping over, huge difficulty.
Yeah. I mean, we had like a little mini celebration when like Mattia got to a kneeling position, and we're like,
are we
fucking surfers, dude? Like, let's go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, Let me finish my surfing story. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I'm on the east coast of Ilan, and I'm of Taiwan, and I've only ever gone surfing in like very private, secluded areas. This time, like my friend was telling me on the way, like there's going to be a bunch of people. And I was like, wait, what? Is that a thing when you surf? She's like, yeah, normally there's like 100 people there. And so I was a fucking menace on the fucking shore.
Oh, you didn't know the etiquette. You didn't know like the etiquette.
She told me the etiquette. Like basically the rules, like whoever catches the wave first, like gets priority. If you're someone's coming your way, keep paddling and get out of their way. Don't stop, because then that's when you crash. But it's like, I'm a fucking rock in there, dude. Like, I know she told me to keep paddling, but like as soon as I see someone come, I panic and I fall over, and now I'm just floating. And I cause so much mayhem.
And you know that like the boys, the group that they like see each other all the time, they'll be like, you see that fucking guy? Yeah, I know, dude. That guy that just like he needed to get out of the way and just did the literal opposite.
Dude, surfers are chill outside the water, but it seems to me from my 3 hours on the water, surfers on the water, not chill. Very Karen-esque. Oh,
yeah, I can imagine. I mean, dude, that's their like one thing that they, not their one thing, I'm not gonna oversimplify, but like that's their happy place, right? Like imagine one time I brought our friend Ernie with us to Hensel Gracie, Brooklyn, and I had him do Muay Thai with me on like a Saturday or something.
Did he do
Taekwondo? And then I was like, huh? I don't know if he did. I think he was like a white guy. Like he played volleyball. Like, I mean, that's a pretty Asian thing, but like he was more like, he played football. Like he was like a white guy sports guy, not like an Asian guy sports guy. Okay. So I had him do a Muay Thai class with me, and then I spent an extra like 5-10 minutes just like working with somebody else after. So he was on his own for a little bit. And during the time he was on his own, he put on like his gym shoes and was just walking on the mats while people were training jujitsu. And the jujitsu guys, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like the big jujitsu area in Hensel Gracie. And people were looking at him like, what the fuck are you doing? And I had to like, I ran over because I'm like, I'm sorry, guys, I'm sorry. And I was like, Ernie, get off the mat. Like, I imagine that that's the same kind of energy that you were giving. And your friend had to be like, oh, I'm so sorry about him. Like, he's new here.
Basically.
He's special needs.
It's funny because... It's funny because my friend Jean, she was saying that like they were being really nice to me. Like at most I got a couple eye rolls, but they were yelling at her because she knows what she's doing. They don't know her, but she knows what she's doing, and you can tell she knows what she's doing. And she brought the noob, and I think they were directing all their anger towards me onto her. And she was like, they kept yelling at me. And I was like, oh fuck, bro, I'm so sorry.
That's funny. I get that. That makes sense, right? You don't yell at it's like yelling at the parent, like, hey, get your kid to stop crying on this plane. I mean, I had a fucking terrible flight, leaving Spain, but no, Spain was awesome. We stayed in the southern part of Spain, so we didn't hit like Barcelona, where everyone's getting like protested against. I'm just gonna vent about that. Like the protests against tourism really should be directed at like, regulations around Airbnbs and like rentals, because like they're yelling at tourists for visiting their cities because they see them, but their whole problem is that they can't buy houses for themselves because other Spaniards are buying houses and renting them out. So you should be yelling at some of your own neighbors rather than the tourists.
Jeremy you're the problem.
I was surprised at how much I loved like the architecture, the old architecture in the southern parts of Spain. Like if you remember Dorne in Game of Thrones, like it has that
based
like
on Spain.
Yeah, the southern part. I mean, we went to the garden that like the Dorne Palace was filmed in. It was beautiful. A lot of like Muslim influence from like the north part of Africa, which is really cool. Tapas fucking rule. I ate so much and I lost 3 pounds because I kind of lose weight when I travel because I'm so nervous about like shitting all over the place. So I don't eat that much. But with the tapas, basically like little snacks everywhere you go, you get to try 1,000 things and it's pretty cheap. Obviously, you don't have to tip. America, I think we need to come together and fix this whole tipping culture because it's getting out of hand. Like in Spain, I got my bill, I sign it, I'm done. In America, you get your bill, then you have to add 20%. Nowadays, the scale is like 20, 25, 30 for a fucking coffee or like a burrito that you made in front of me that like took like 1 second to make. Like, I don't need to give you $8 for you to just like, I don't know. Anyway, vent on the tipping over. But tapas fucking rule. Love the tapas. But the thing that I'm taking back with me after the 2 weeks there is siestas. I've been siestaing ever since I got back.
I love a good siesta.
Like right
about, I always tell Ariel, like, a day with a nap is a good day for me.
Dude, so since we got back, every day, usually 15 minutes between like 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock, just a quick, like a quick lay down, arms crossed, glasses still on sometimes, you know, you wake up and you're like, oh, cool, I'm good. Like,
dude, sometimes 10 minutes, like, that can change your whole day.
And you know what? That 10 minutes flies because some people will be like, I can't nap. If you work from home or if you have the luxury of having the option to take like a 10 minute nap, that 10 minutes is going to like revitalize your entire body and mind. Meanwhile, if you just like fucking power through, like you're probably just going to scroll on your phone for 10 minutes and not realize that like 10 minutes passed. So, dude, siesta life is the life for me. Loved it. Spain was super cool. I did get an email yesterday that I have a traffic violation. So if I do have it.
How do they find you, bro?
Cameras. They got cameras everywhere. And apparently, and I looked it up, apparently it's not that the cameras catch you going through a red light. It's more like the cameras.
Apparently. I caught that late, but we caught it.
Yeah. The cameras get you at a start point at an end point. And basically says like, if you're going the speed limit, then it should take you 10 minutes. Yeah, but it took you 8 minutes. You're going too fast.
Damn. So, that's actually like really clever.
Yeah. So they sent me a notice. Well, they technically sent a notice to the rental company and the rental company had to give them my info. So if I get a ticket and it's like 300 euro, I'm just never going back to Spain. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to pay that. I'm just going to never go back there.
I have an old coworker that reminds me. I have an old coworker. She like used to tutor in Korea and she got involved in some like Ponzi pyramid scheme where she was teaching English and it was all corrupt. But basically the company that she was working for had like some huge, like very, very serious legal trouble. And so randomly one night she got notified from a coworker. Basically, she needs to get the fuck out of the country or she's going to go to jail. I don't exactly remember the details, but it's like there was some real deep corruption for the English teaching company she was working for. So she left.
Yeah.
And she told me, though, the way that the Korean legal system works is if she doesn't go back for 5 years, her record's expunged and there's like no record of it. And she can just go back.
Bro, that's the way. Yeah. I just won't go to Spain for a while. And maybe they forget me. Or I'm hoping. Okay. Because I found out that like Europeans hate Brits. They hate the British. Brits are like the Americans. They're like the Americans of Europe because like they travel and they will not try to fucking assimilate at all. They're just gonna dude, when we were in Ibiza, the strip we were on, there were like 6 Irish pubs in a row. Nobody was speaking Spanish. Everyone was just like, sorry for the Brits out there that are listening, but y'all are trashy. And that's coming from an American. Like, you guys are pretty trashy. So, yeah, it was fun. I'm back here. I'm going to Chicago next weekend. Chicago sucks.
I still miss my Portillo's. I still miss my deep dish.
I'm going to take Maria to Navy Pier. She's never seen Navy Pier. But Fun fact.
You can ride that Ferris wheel, bro?
Dude, why not? It's been fucking 10 years, 15 years since I've been. So I'm going to hit it up. Honestly, I'll probably like record it as if I'm like, you know, like travel vlog style, like my first time visiting Chicago type thing. But just for your information, at some point during this, during our pod, let's book Taiwan. I'll fucking book my trip to Taiwan. I have it open right here. Yeah, money isn't real.
Let's do it. I'm down. Money isn't real. Money isn't real. Money isn't real. You gotta warn Maria though before the Ferris wheel. I don't know. I don't know if you remember, but it doesn't stop. Like it just goes, and you just gotta like jump on that thing. I remember when I was a little kid, when I was there. I was like, "Wait, what the fuck?" I was like six, and I was like, "You just jump on, and then you just jump off." It's pretty.
Do you
scary.
Think it's gonna be crowded, or do you think people don't care about it?
I don't know, man. Bro, come on. Like, we grew up there.
You and I are not real Chicagoans. Six.
That one time I just told you about was the only time.
All right, I'll report back. I'll report back. But I've been talking nonstop for a while. Fill me in. What about you?
Where do we begin? Where do we begin? I realize I'm ugly. Like not even looking for like a little dude. Not even looking for I'm not even fishing for a compliment here. You know, I've been posting on my Instagram a lot lately, and now I just have this grid of just shots of me, you know, in action. And I'm looking at my grid and I'm like, you know, you see a couple that don't look great and you're like, you know what? That's just like a bad angle. I chose this thumbnail because of the crazy expression. But then when you just keep scrolling and they're all like that, it's like, I realized, dude, being 30 is realizing you're mid and that's okay.
I mean, I think I'm like, I think we're upper class mid. We're upper class.
No, I think I'm mid, bro. I think I'm like truly mid. Like it was a very humbling. And I asked my wife and she was like, well, I mean, do people compliment you all the time? And I was like, oh, no. Ow. God damn, bro. She's like, well, what did you expect?
Maybe. Okay. There's two things here. One, I don't think you're mid because you wouldn't have made it this far up my friend ladder. As you know, I don't really like ugly people. And you don't have the greatest personality, so it's not like your personality.
Yo, I have an amazing personality. I have a 10 out of 10 personality. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, part of that is looks, but the other thing is just because you're like posting a lot means you're getting like all the angles. Everyone, it's because you turned your post rate higher. Before then, you were just like, oh shit, this looks good. I'm gonna post this. Now, if you're looking at like your grid, you're like, what the hell? That's what I look like. The other thing is, like, if you surround yourself with people that are below you, then you can get that ego boost because they'll always be like, oh, my God, dude, your hair is amazing. And I'm like, oh, please stop. But, like, keep going because you're...
Dude, I'm okay with it, honestly. And, like, to your point of, like, posting a lot, it just means I'm truly not that good looking because it's, like, a truly good looking person doesn't matter. And after you take 100 photos, they probably look pretty good in most of them, you know? And... if anything, it's got me acting right. You know, I'm not wandering eyes on the street thinking, is that girl checking me out? I know she's not checking me out. She looked in my direction. It wasn't at me. It was at like the dude behind me or maybe there was like a bird. I'm looking straight ahead because I know she's definitely not looking at me.
That's good. It builds character. It's I always refer to that like episode of Pokemon where Pikachu is fighting Raichu and Pikachu has to like find another way by being like quick and agile. And it's like ugly people. And it's like getting too attractive or getting too attractive too early. So like if you become attractive really early, then you don't get a chance to like be funny or like create a personality because like you just get things gifted to you because of your hotness. So saw a lot of like empty shells of people in Ibiza that were just hot, but like you could tell that they were like empty.
I don't know, man.
Sorry for the Ibizans out there.
I'd rather be good looking and bland than have a 10 out of 10 personality, honestly. Which I do have, by the way.
Yeah, I would rather not be ugly. I would rather be attractive and evil than like
it's so much
ugly
better.
But like humble and like I don't know. I think I would have a more fulfilling life.
Bro, pretty privilege is real. I've never heard of personality privilege. Like, what the fuck is that? That's not even real.
Yeah, it's like people are like shocked if it's like, oh, he's actually really funny. Like, it's like,
yeah, it's like a miracle. That's such a backhanded compliment, bro. Like, oh, you know, Nate, he's actually a really cool guy. Yo,
no,
shut
like,
the
if
fuck
you
up,
take
bro.
Your time to like, if you invest some time in him, then yeah, it's gonna be worth it because like, he's actually kind of fun to be around if like it starts to get quiet and you need someone to talk to. It's like, ooh, I just give me someone hot to look at.
Yeah. Maybe I'm going to overcorrect, and what I'm going to do is I'm just going to be like, I don't know, a caricature of a guy. Maybe I'll get like 100 more tattoos, or maybe I'll get like a nipple piercing or something. I don't know.
My internet went out. I don't know if it's you or me.
No, I can still see you.
I can hear you.
I can still see
you. Okay, we're back. Sorry, guys. I missed the punchline there. You would rather...
No worries. I don't even remember what I said, honestly. It's all just word vomit. Have you played Marvel Snap before?
No.
Do you know what that
is? That's not something I expect to come from you.
Yeah, no, because I've went cold turkey on gaming for 10 years. I'm like, I'm very vocal about it. But my wife...
Well, you have your auto battler. Super Autopets.
Yes, that's
Auto
true.
Pets.
Super Autopets. That game was lit. I was really addicted to that for the past couple months. But my wife just downloaded this game, Marvel Snap, and I knew it was going to be addicting because it won like App of the Year last year or something. And it's
I've heard really good things about it.
It's really, dude. She made me download it so we could play each other. I've been playing it like, and I'm sitting on the toilet. I'm playing it. Waiting for the bus. I'm playing it. She's talking to me. I'm playing it, bro. It's fucking addicting. I've only had it for 2 days, and I have like probably like 10 hours on it.
Is it a card battler? Card battler.
It's a card battler, builder? And it's like. It's just so cleverly designed. Like, each game is quick, and it's like the way they have the button set up. Like, literally, the moment you first download the app, and the first button you press when you download the app gets you into playing it right away. And it's like, what the fuck? They couldn't have made it more simple.
They optimal UI. It's just like, okay, get me in this right now, dude. I might check it out because that like I've listened to a lot of like gaming news, and that's one that always pops up, but it's just not my genre. But I keep
it's a thinking man's game for sure.
Yeah, I'm not a thinking man. I'm a as for the Dark Souls players out there, I am a Unga Bunga strength build. I have no health. I have no intelligence. I just put all into strength. It's called Unga. It's like a Unga Bunga strength build where you just have like a club, and you just keep putting all your level ups towards strength. Nothing else, and you just try to Or it's also known as like a glass cannon, where you deal so much damage, but if you get hit once, you're like dead. So you just kind of like rely on killing the thing before it kills you. So
that's pretty sick.
Yeah, you're right. I am not a thinking man in terms of gaming. So I might check out Marvel Snap, but I did see Deadpool versus Wolverine on Sunday.
I did watch it as well. I didn't want to text our boys group chat or men group chat. What did you think about it?
I knew going into it that I wanted to just like laugh. It's like going to a comedy and just like being in the mood, being like maybe a little tipsy and just like, yeah, this is funny, whatever. I'm not trying to like dissect too much into like what it means for the Marvel universe. I wasn't expecting to like learn something about friendship. I had a lot of fun with the Easter eggs. Spoiler alert for anyone that hasn't seen it, we might dip into spoiler territory, but I think
let's just dip into it. Spoiler alert, skip to like whatever timestamp is up here.
Yeah,
did you like it, did you laugh?
I liked it. I have not rewatched any Deadpools because I don't ever feel like I need to rewatch them. I thought the Chris Evans reveal was hilarious because I was like, oh shit, Captain America, and then I was like, oh right, he played fucking Johnny Flame or whatever, the Human Torch. I thought the Gambit thing was funny at first, but a little overly played out. Like Channing Tatum having like a weird accent was a little annoying. And the fights were awesome. The fight choreography was really cool for me. Yeah. I think I was telling Maria the thing I really like about Deadpool is because it's knives and guns, it's not like a Disney CGI orgy of like,
superpower like energy beam versus Kamehameha. Yeah, I hear you.
So that was super
fun.
That
first Wolverine versus Deadpool battle in the desert was sick, especially when Wolverine was like, you know, clawing his way over.
Yeah,
that was pretty sick.
Yeah.
And I think also cool canonically, it was, I like how like Wolverine won basically every battle, like just kind of like definitively proving he was the better fighter. I thought that was a really cool little detail. I'm going to be honest, I laughed maybe 4 or 5 times, and that might sound like a lot, but in a movie that's like 2.5 hours long that had probably like 10 jokes a all minute. Jokes. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't find it funny. Not a lot of it didn't laugh. And part of it is due to the fact that I watched it in Taiwan, and the dude next to me in a very heavy Chinese accent kept going, "God damn," every time something was funny. And that, bro, that killed the fucking vibe, dude. In that exact voice.
I hate that.
God damn. I was like, dude, can you shut the fuck up, bro?
Yeah, I hate, that's something that I don't miss about, I feel like as kids, we went to see like packed movies more often. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so you would go to a theater and like, you got used to like people talking at the screen. For me, if I'm like watching a movie.
Did you grow up in a black, did you grow up in the hood? That's like a hood thing, dude.
No, it's like, a lot of times we would see like a horror movie and there would be like girls in there or like guys on dates. And so they would like, diminish the tension of like a scary scene by like saying something funny. And we like,
I hate that guy. I hate that dude. That dude who like tries to get like bring the attention to him or like in that one quiet moment, like, yo, fuck you, dude. His name's probably like Johnny or like Mark. Yo, fuck you, Mark.
Skyler.
Ew, bro. Yo, fuck you, Dylan. Actually, we know Dylan. We know Dylan, so never mind.
Yeah, and I ride or die with Dylan. But no, it would be like there would be like a moment of seriousness in the movie, and then you just hear some guy be like, "Yo, she could still get it though," and you'd be like, "Dude, shut the fuck up!" Like, no one thinks you're no one's here for your laughs.
No one's here for you, bro. Go to an open mic.
Yeah, but also I do think, like, it was at the upper limit of like Ryan Reynolds-ness. If you get what I mean, like,
I get like, what you mean. A lot of meta jokes, a lot of Ryan Reynolds style humor, even from back from his like Ben Wilder days. It was just like very leaning into the character that is Ryan Reynolds. And honestly, like you said, I've never rewatched Deadpool, and like, I think he's charismatic. I don't think he's charismatic enough for me to, you know, rewatch these films.
Yeah. Like
I enjoyed it. Yeah. I enjoyed the film. I enjoyed the film. I just don't think it was like particularly great or even good, to be honest. The fight scenes were awesome. Like, literally fight scenes were so awesome. Cool.
The van fight scene, I thought was
incredible. That was sick. That was so sick.
This is so creative. This is like the shoot, like the, I have a lot more appreciation too now that I understand like how you have to like disguise the hits and things like that. Yeah.
Bro,
yeah,
how about when they launched him from the fucking top of the car? That looked real. That looked like a real body.
I think that's why that's more exciting than like the CGI shit where, you know, somebody's like on a whole ass crane.
Yep.
Like flying through space. And you're like, it's just
practical effects always just look so much cooler on screen.
Yeah. So that was fun. And sorry to give you some FOMO, but this weekend is boys poker night. So Ernie's making his way from New Jersey.
Nico has enough of my money.
Nico, dude, and you know what? Nico's been losing.
Oh,
I think
I'm missing out. For some backstory, we did boys poker night like 3-4 times if we include like that one off time with Sean. We did like 3 or 4 times.
Where there were like 12 of us. That was too many.
A huge amount of people. I think Nico would walk away with like $200 like each time.
Yeah, usually.
Like, and everybody else would lose like their first buy-in. I would be the fool buying in 2 or 3, 4 times.
Yeah. You were funding Nico's night.
Yeah. I'm sad I'm missing out on the bleeding of Nico. I wish I was
there. Hey, we can gamble when I visit you. We can gamble when I visit you. I'm down. Boxes when I'm over there.
Okay. Let's do it.
Okay, so what else? I mean, we're 30 minutes in, and I haven't really gotten much of an update on you. I've just been talking about me.
I am thinking about starting freelancing again.
Okay.
Like, freelance coding? I don't know, man. Like, I think it would just be nice to have... Like, it's been almost a year. It's kind of been, like, my little sabbatical away from work. And I just think, like, there's multiple reasons. Like, even my wife thinks it'd be nice if I got to work again. It'd be nice to have a little bit more money, obviously. And also with like the coding, I mean, not the coding, like the social media stuff, like I was looking for some brand partnerships. It's hard because like I still have a low following. I mean, like I've done pretty good for myself. Like in the past year, I went from 800 to like 2.4K, which is pretty good jump.
Yeah, triple.
But the thing is like if I had a job, I feel like it would put less pressure on me to, you know, like push on the content, you know, and I'd be able to just do it a little bit more freely, a little bit more fun. But like,
yeah,
I just always feel so much stress on how if I don't get this by the time we leave Taiwan, like I have to get a real job and it's going to be devastating at the end of my, but it's like, if I pick up some freelance gigs coding, I think first off, it'd keep my skills sharp and, you know, diversified, have some money. I just think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I think it's like a pace that you can handle. So we're going from like full speed working full time corporate job where you feel like you're selling your soul to the devil, saying fuck that, I'm not doing that at all, and then being like, well, I did enjoy X, Y, and Z about it, so what if I can just like still do that?
Yeah,
I get it. I mean, yeah. Like, I think it's sexy to be like, fuck corporations, I'm gonna do my own thing, and I still would love to, but it's hard for me to walk away from the ability to like go 2 weeks to Spain and not stress about,
bro,
like, eating.
I don't know
how you
even have that desire to say fuck corporate America, because you're going on 2 week long vacations, planning another vacation to visit me. You take CS in the middle of the day, work from home. I mean, August is basically off for you guys.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You're living it up.
Yeah, I think honestly, that's part of the reason why I'm like, taking my foot a little bit off the gas on like the stunt acting thing. So I mentioned that I have like a new manager and I'm getting a few projects put in front of me, or a new, like a couple priorities to tackle. And I want to make sure that I'm representing myself well so that I can continue to kind of like go back to cruising and like go on 2 week vacations. You know what I mean? I have to like, I want to put in my time. I want to like show like, hey, I'm good at what I'm doing, so that when I go MIA or if I want to like film a scene somewhere in the middle of the workday, no one's like freaking out being like, does that guy even work? You know? So, putting that a little bit on the back burner.
I took an opposite approach at my last job, 'cause I did that for my first two jobs, or I did that for my second job more so, but my last job, I did more like from the very first month, I set expectations low, very, very low. Like very, very, very low. And whenever I felt like things were like going off, I would like, or I was getting a little bit too, like I was testing the boundaries a little bit too much, I would like increase my workload like 10%, and they'd be like, man, you're killing it. You're fucking killing it, dude. And I'm like, thanks. Meanwhile, I'm working at like 40% capacity still.
Right. You're like training nonstop at jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get that. I don't know. I mean, I've been at the same company for a long time, so I know what works and what doesn't work. So for me, it's very like, it's that. But I'm going to ask you more about the freelancing, but just on the same topic, I had a conversation with two buddies that kind of came up as a half joke and is turning into like a real thing. My friend, a good friend, Din, just moved to Greenpoint from the Lower East Side, from East Village. And he's like, dude, there's no gyms here. He's like, there's no gyms here. This just like this broken down Planet Fitness or whatever.
Yo, there's a Crunch and there, I think. I used to go there.
Or Crunch. He was like, it's this crowded, broken Crunch. And he was like, we should open a gym in Greenpoint in like a group chat. And like the three of us were like, I'm down. Like, let's look into this. So I'm not saying that that's gonna happen, but it, as you know from like previous pod episodes, if you guys are loyal listeners like Ellen or Luca, that is something I want to do, is like eventually just like open something for myself that is an amalgamation of like the different physical martial arts and training and strength training aspects that I've all experimented in. So we'll see. Like I said, kind of just like a fun project to think about, and maybe I'll start putting like you know, like a business, like a proposal for it together just for fun in my free time. Because, I don't know, a lot of times when I like imagine something happening, sometimes, a lot of times, coincidentally, like they end up actually happening. So we'll see. Just putting that out there, putting it into the ether.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah,
I think it's a good idea for you. Like, I feel like if it like what's the word, crosses a lot of the areas of interest. Also, like, yeah, if I remember, Greenpoint doesn't have too many gyms. It has that crunch and then. By the way, Best Dress. I saw Best Dress outside that Crunch Fitness. You probably don't know who that is. I don't know if Maria knows who that is. She might. I know all my fashion girlies know who that is. That's a real hot take. Anyways, there's also like another gym on McCarran Park. But yeah, Greenpoint itself is missing. Williamsburg has quite a few gyms. But yeah. Do you know Barbell Brigade?
Yes.
They like I used to watch Bart Kwan and the other guy. I used to watch their YouTube, but they opened a gym in LA just in like one of those like, you know, like containers.
Yeah.
On the street, kind of like the way that we have like outdoor eating or outdoor dining in New York. So like,
yeah, interesting. I
mean, you could maybe even rent like a garage or something real tiny, and like once you get a few members, expand even bigger. I mean, it could be even personal to you guys. Like, you could just do like some racks or whatever equipment you yeah. like. I think I would love that. Something, I think that'd be sick.
Something I mentioned was because like the gyms, these two guys I met at the gym, they're sharp dudes. They have like, they have their shit together type guys. And I mentioned what I think is valuable is mat space. A lot of gyms, they just like put equipment to the brim. But I was saying that if there's mat space, that is incredibly versatile. So you could kind of like lease out the mat space to like fight trainers or jujitsu classes. So if someone wants to have like a private jujitsu lesson, but they can't take them to Henzo's or something, they want to do something nearby their house. And that starts to grow and they want to have like, they want to train like 2-3 people at a time. I think that's like a really easy, like, hey, we have the mat space. It could be used for anything. Like, that's where people are just like stretching anyway. You know what I mean? And it's less expensive than like filling it to the brim with equipment. So that's something that I think
would be interesting. I mean, that the trade off of that style, though, is like you'd have to have a much larger initial investment for the bigger space itself, you know, whereas like equipment you can progressively invest into. It's really funny that you mentioned this, because you probably, do you know Miskiff? He's a streamer on Twitch. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. He's been live streaming his, he actually opened a gym 6 months ago, and he's like a gaming streamer, but he also opened a gym with a couple of friends. Basically what you're saying, he did in Austin, and he's been like on his stream and on videos, like giving updates and like just talking about the progress. It's actually really cool. He goes into the numbers even. And if you're interested, you could probably like watch it and get it, use it as like reference to see like what it actually takes.
Oh, that's, very that's open interesting.
He said basically
that's something I would definitely want to like I would probably try to learn a lot from you if I go down this road and be like, hey, what's up, guys? I'm opening a gym. Follow me in my journey as we open a gym, because now it gets people to kind of like come.
For sure.
Yeah. It's like a lot more like personal investment into the brand rather than just like,
Gym if they like you, they'll want to see the gym, you know, more so than if like, this gym has the equipment I like. You know what I mean? People like stories. People like people.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I think you should look into it. It took him like 6 months to get profitable, but I think they said they missed a few of their benchmarks, but like they're on a good path is what it sounds like.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so instead of me and my dream of the gym, what about you and the freelancing? Like, what's your path? What's your plan?
Bro, dude, I don't fucking know. We have a mutual friend, Watson. Listeners of the pod probably know him. Before I left New York, I talked to his cousin, because his cousin left Bloomberg. Oh, wait, you know, I should bleep that out. I don't think I should say. Yeah. We both worked the same company, and he left to go freelance, and I just left, and I asked him about it and what his experience was like. Because, you know, you say you want to freelance, but it's like, okay, how do I actually get a fucking gig? And, like, I'm not talking about, like, on Fiverr, you know, where I'm literally selling you know, six-figure education for $5 an hour. I'm like talking about getting real gigs. He said most of it is through his network, and I was like, yeah, fuck, because in college all I did was smoke weed and party, so I don't have a fucking network. I'm gonna have to figure it out. If anybody knows, Luca, shout out to you, if anybody knows how to find freelance work, please reach out. I am very interested. I think there is going to be some difficulties because either I'm going to have to lie and say my address is like my parents' place in Chicago, or they're just going to have to be cool with me working remotely in Taiwan and I'll wake up
for interesting fucking
meeting. You know what I mean? I think there's like legal or like tax ramifications of me working out of the country.
Okay, well, you live with your parents.
Yeah, right.
You might have to LinkedIn again.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I mean, I feel like if anything,
don't
like,
fully
that was
suck the
skill.
LinkedIn dick though.
No, I was actually really good at that. Like even in college, like I was really fucking good at like those career fairs. Like I remember I had so many offers, and then like my friends who were smarter, had better grades, like they would struggle, and I'd be thinking to myself like, bro, just like smile and just talk to the dude. And like they would like, I had one friend, he was in a much harder major than me. He was like, I want to say he was in computer engineering, and I only had a minor in electrical engineering. And then he had better grades, and like he literally took him 6 months to get a job after college. And I was like, bro, what the fuck? And like I looked at I was like, let me look at your resume. Like his resume had like one thing on it, mostly white space. I was like, bro, bullshit this shit. Like, put some fucking buzzwords on here to optimize it for some search. Like, lie. Fucking lie, dude.
Everyone else already is. No one's gonna, like, put your feet to the fire and say, hey, did you really volunteer at this place for 6 months?
Yeah, I think, but I think that freelancing is a very closed-door old boys club, because it's like, and my assumption is that there's only a few... There's a finite amount of gigs, and so like the freelance community probably aren't so welcoming
sharing.
To newcomers, because you know
because
like they're also fighting for the premium gig, so I think it's gonna be a little bit harder to find. But I'm doing what I always do. I'm doing some YouTube, TikTok, Google research, seeing what's out there, and like going down that path to see. But it's just something I thought about this week, and I very loosely have been doing it. Actually, in more like recent news, I started teaching more classes. Jiu-jitsu classes. So I'm teaching like 5 classes a week now. I was only teaching like 2 a week.
Oh.
3. Yeah, and like one of them is like a pro training session. So we started this like all Taiwan.
Oh, so it's not just kids anymore.
No. And I wasn't always just teaching kids. It was just one kids class and one adults class. But now I'm teaching a pro session. That's been a little bit more stressful, cuz like the aim of that is to just get more business for the gym owner, cuz the gym's not struggling, but the owner and I are friends, and like, you know, she told me that like she's lost a few members, and she hasn't been promoting as much. So like I came up with this idea of like starting a all Taiwan pro train to get like more people to come, and it's cool. Okay. Like, we've been getting some business, but like it does stress me out a little bit, like because I'm trying to help out my friend, and I'm also just teaching a lot more classes now, and it's been, you know, I've been busy.
Yeah, I mean, are they all on the same? Are they like on the same day, or they're like spread out?
I teach 3 on Friday, 1 Wednesday, 1 Tuesday. So Friday's like a pretty big day for me. And you know, like I train every day also.
Yeah. So then I guess this is a pro training bring people from other gyms just to like get different looks.
Yeah. That's what we thought would be so great. Like we would get more training partners for us, because we're already running like a closed door session on Tuesdays, which is when the pro training is. Yo, shout out to pro training at PMA, 11 a.m. in Taiwan. If anyone is here, teachers train, Taiwan based teachers train free. But yeah, we were looking for like more training partners for us to get different looks. And we thought like it'd be cool to like just advertise it on Instagram and stuff and get some more people in the door. And it has. It's cool.
That reminds me of something that's happening. There's a newer-ish Muay Thai gym called Zombie Muay Thai on 14th Street or 13th or somewhere.
I think you mentioned
there.
It before, yeah.
And they do this thing, I think once a month, which is like women's sparring. And it skyrocketed because women didn't feel like comfortable sparring. Like, you know, a lot of them have like the same issue where they're sparring with someone and they're getting like smoked because it's some guy that wants to like prove himself. And so the women sparring really like put some glue in the community, because it was a lot less like secular, like, oh, these are the Henzo's people. This is the fucking Two Bridges people. Like they don't talk. So it allowed people to like network a little bit more. But I wouldn't doubt it if some people were like, oh, this is really close to me. I'm going to like just join here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or something like that. So I think there's something worth considering. It's not only pro training, but like other things like that. If you're like, hey, how do we like,
I think an all girls open mat is a good idea. Like, I think PMA used to have that, but there were some issues. But like Gene, the owner of the gym, was telling me, my wife keeps telling me I should stop naming people, but the owner of the gym was telling me that Taiwan is like a very small community. And like, there's like an Islander mentality here for like, they don't want more. They just want to hold on to what they have. And so it's like, there's beef between gyms here, you know, and you've definitely experienced it. Like Muay Thai has that, Jiu Jitsu, even in New York has that, but it's like amplified here. And I was like, bro, this is fucking ridiculous. I train at all the gyms and I like basically beat up everybody in Taiwan. And it's like, we should all be trained together. Like, you guys all need to fucking get better and help me. Like, give me better training, you know what I mean? And like, I thought this is a good idea to do what you're saying. Like, it'll bring the community together, make us more like, you know, like the goal should be to grow jiu-jitsu in Taiwan, not to fucking membership. Like, if jiu-jitsu grows, your membership will grow. And so basically I think those kind of things are good for the community. And you know, they're just like very close-minded people, very short-sighted people.
Did you get pushback? You know?
No, not, I thought I would actually from the owner, but I didn't. But there are some people. So the issue with I know one issue with the girls open mat that used to be held was like, they didn't, some girls couldn't be seen training there because their, you know, professor would kick them out of the gym. And so like, they couldn't take the trap afterwards.
That was some Muay Thai shit too. I trained somewhere else with someone because we were friends. And then I basically got a message that was like, if you don't get the training that you need from here, then go ahead and explore elsewhere without us. And I was like, Jesus, okay, I guess I'll keep fucking training with the same cycle of five people over and over again.
Yeah, seriously. These people are acting like some like crazy psycho possessive boyfriend. You know what I mean? Like, yo, chill the fuck out, dude.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. Okay, so this is where I'm going to say we're going to bleep things out. Okay.
Okay. Let's
hear it. I got
Okay. Guys, we're gonna bleep things out. We're gonna take a real quick break. We want to shoot out our Patreon, our podcast pals.
Shout out. We don't want to shoot them out.
So we want to shout out to our Patreon and the patreon.com/DanielCho, our podcast pals. It's only $3.90 a month. With that, you get bonus segments. You get the episode early before it drops. We call it Mind our bloopers, because we show all our bloopers and all our outtakes and bonus segments. I think on this week we're going to talk about Twilight Imperium, which is the game me, Miguel, and our guest Luca are playing. So we want to shout out Alex Dow and Robin Huang. We somehow lost members from this month to last month, but we love you guys. No! Thanks for supporting us.
No. Yeah, thanks, Alex. Thanks, Robin. We'll see you on the Galactic Battlefield. And if you think of anything that you want from us, anything extra you want from us, don't be shy. Let us know, because we will do it.
Yes. Oh, and guys, leave comments and questions down below in the YouTube video, and we will try to answer them in the next episode. At that point, why not just get like a hotel room?
I know, right?
$180 Uber.
I think he wanted to be home to his like kids. He likes being home.
I forget.
He likes being home.
He loves
being a dad.
Yeah, that's cool. It couldn't be me. Could not be me, same. Bro.
Same. Oh, here, are we good to pop back in?
Oh, yeah, okay. And we're back.
We're back. Me and Nate just had some heart-to-hearts where we fully unleashed, and we can't have y'all getting in on that. Unless you want to add a tier to our Patreon subscribers for $100, we can give you full 20-minute skit of what we were talking about. You can get the dirty deets, but otherwise that's staying under the rug for us. But I was just going to talk about in Spain, we were talking about kids and how a lot of our friends are like built to be parents, and me and Nate really are not. And I had some affirmation to this validation when I was flying back from Spain. Behind me were two of the most hyperactive, like 8-year-olds. And they were just kicking my fucking seat. They were sliding my window up and down. They were putting their hand through the chair, sliding my window up and down. And they were like just yelling different animals in Spanish. Just like they were playing a game of like yell whatever you can. And then they started like taking the little table up and down, moving the table up and down, you know, like the little thing. And I'm trying to chill, right? I it's a 1 hour flight, and I told you I was gonna try to get out in Lisbon and just like power through 6 hour layover in Lisbon. So I was like, I'm gonna power nap. And these kids are playing, and I like reached my limit. And I
please tell me you yelled at them.
Yeah, I turned around, I looked through the seat, eye contact.
Yes. What did you say? Like, tell me.
They speak Spanish. They don't speak English. But I was just like, enough. And then the mom.
Damn.
The mom freaked and started yelling at them. Like, see what you're doing? See what happened? But I think it's like a language that maybe they know. But I didn't say, I didn't want to be like, I didn't want to make a sentence. I was just like, enough. And then, like, the mom, like, kind of looked at me, like, lo siento, da 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 da. And I didn't say anything back. I was just like, that was plenty. I didn't want to be like, hey, control your fucking kids. I didn't want to do it in Spanish either, because I didn't want to diminish my anger by saying something stupid. You know what I mean?
No, I hear you. Also, like, kids are savage. If you say it in a funny accent, they're going to just mock you and make it even worse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, he said no sound. Okay. What if I move and you're like, fuck off, like this, you know what I mean? So yeah. I just turned around, I said enough, and I gave like the 0.75 second eye contact. It was like, enough. And just like when an adult looks at like a child, they're like, and they were like pretty chill for the rest. But I just remember being like, okay, there is no way in hell I would want to like go travel somewhere and have to deal with this shit on the side.
For sure.
Like,
for sure.
Obviously, I would have more behaved kids, but still, like, if that shit's happening, I would have so much stress about, like, oh my god, everyone in the back of this plane fucking hates me because my dumbass kids just keep yelling. You know what I mean? I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah. I want to say the person who suffers the most there probably is the parent, you know? Probably. Like, so I do have. Because, you know, they're the ones stuck with them. And if the mom is not saying anything until that point, it's probably because she's fucking exhausted. I mean, traveling with 2 8-year-olds fucking sucks. What I also want to say to that is you signed up for that shit, lady. You signed up for that shit. And I truly, 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 truly believe most people on this earth shouldn't have kids because they are not ready. And my parents always say, no one's ready. No one's ready. You know who's ready? Elon Musk with $1 billion behind him. He's ready. He can hire help.
And he's still a shitty dad.
Fucking chat. He's still a shitty dad. Yeah, you know? But he can hire the fucking private jet. And if you're going to ask me, so then should only billionaires have kids? Hell yeah. Unless special exception, okay? We're overpopulated as a planet. Like, it's causing the destruction of this ecosystem. And, dude, if you don't have the capability or capacity to take care of these fucking kids until another stranger is so bothered they have to stand up, turn around, and yell at them, bro, you're a shit fucking parent. I don't care if it's hard for you. You shouldn't have had fucking kids.
Yeah, yeah. It also is like a ripple effect, right? Like a generational, like, well, my mom used to yell at me, so I'm going to yell at my kids. And it's like, no, there needs to be fucking proper training. There needs to be some fucking proper training. Oh, get the fuck out of here. Okay. I meant to ask you. So obviously I'm going to buy tickets to Taiwan. I can probably do that in the next 48 hours. Or maybe within the next week. I don't know if you're supposed to buy tickets on Tuesday, whatever. We said Vietnam. We're not locked into Vietnam.
I'm still open
to talking.
I'm still open, actually. Okay, so
to Japan.
I know I said I am actually reconsidering if we don't do Tokyo. Like, hear me out. Okay.
Dude, we're on the same page. Okay. I was like, what if we do like the historic stuff? We don't just max out on because
the city.
I thought I was going to bring it up and be like, I wonder if I can convince Nate to open up to reconsidering Japan, but not just Tokyo.
Strong, bro. Like, I think the dollar's gotten even stronger. Like, and when I went there, it was already fucking cheap. So, and it's like, dude, because I went there, TikTok is now showing me a lot of Japan content. And I'm kind of like, you know, this kind of looks kind of cool. I could have done this instead, you know?
I'm down for not just 10 days in Tokyo. Maybe one, two.
No, I'm down for a couple days in Tokyo. I'm okay with that. But yeah, as someone who just stayed there for like 4 or 5 days, bro, and I'm telling you, it really is the first day is sick. After that, you're like, there's nothing to do here.
I'm super down to reframe the Japan trip.
Okay. Yes.
It's not because I was like anti-Vietnam. I was like, okay, Vietnam could be cool. But I don't know. Someone on the internet just keeps pumping Japan stuff to me, and it's not just Tokyo. And I think that's where I'm like, okay, there's a lot more other things we could be doing. So I'm open to it. Should I light the beacons on Instagram and be like, hey guys, does anyone have any suggestions for Japan? I'm not just trying to go to the Tokyo cuddle bars, but open to the cuddle bars.
No, because there's a muscle bar I tried going to when I was there, and
they slap you. I'm fucking going.
We walked there. They were booked, and I didn't know you can actually book beforehand, and you're supposed to book beforehand. So if we go, we should book it.
We book our shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
We book our shit. And we check all the boxes. Maria knows I'm getting slapped.
Okay.
She knows it's a boys' trip.
I'm down. Next Tuesday, let's buy our flights. Let's settle on the dates. And then after we have the flights, we can figure out like accommodation and the itinerary. We can just fly in and out of Tokyo to make it easier even.
Okay. But I mean, I could book Taiwan like, because we know Taiwan. It's going to be the Japan part that we don't. So, So it's Japan then.
I'm down.
All right. Sweet. All right, dude.
Okay. With that, let's go into the bonus segment of the podcast, guys. Bonus segment. Okay, so Miguel isn't really on TikTok the way that us Gen Zers are, okay? And
Did you just identify as Gen Z?
Shut up. And I was wondering, will he understand these references? So I'm just going to list off a few very trendy things that are on my For You page. I don't actually know if they're on everybody else's, but I think some might resonate with you, some might not. I know we're going to start with a softball, and I already know you probably know. Do you know Kim Yeji? Kim Yeji?
Oh, the Korean shooter? She's my, that's my mommy. That's going to be my Halloween costume.
Yo, that's a sick costume. Mad aura. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Do you know what the ballerina farm is?
What the fuck is that? No.
Okay, I bet you Maria probably knows. Ballerina farm for all my girlies out there who are on that, who read the article, who are on that side of TikTok. Okay, this is a great one. Do you know who Fart Buckle is?
No, what the fuck is Fart Buckle?
Fart Buckle, where the lore is puddle deep and yet we all drown in it. Okay, I will send you a TikTok. You will truly appreciate Fart Buckle.
Okay.
Do you know who the specialist is?
No, I thought you were going to be like Hawk Tua. I know Hawk Tua.
Oh, I know. Yeah, Hawk Tua. Yeah, yeah.
She's off the grid.
If I describe this, you probably know. He's on the American team gymnastics, or the gymnastics team. He does the pommel horse, and he only does the pommel horse. Clark Kent.
Okay.
Yeah, they call him the specialist. Yeah, okay. Do you know who Nara Smith is?
No.
She's like this girl on TikTok. She's like a trad wife kind of girl. She has these videos where she makes a ton of shit.
Trad wife,
by hand,
traditional wife, like stay at home.
Yeah.
Okay.
She does crazy DIY videos. She's like, so today my husband was craving Pepsi, so I made it for him from scratch. I harvested the licorice in our home garden. It's like that shit. Like she makes like Funyuns from scratch. Like shit like that. And it's like insane.
You think she gives that sloppy toppy as like a submissive trad wife, or do you think she doesn't know she did, God did not,
I don't know, she's
create
half
her
German
mouth to do that.
She's half German, half like South African, I want to say. So I mean, I don't know, what is your presumption on that, on them and their sexuality?
I guess openness. I mean, in Mallorca 90% of the tourists were Germans, and they had their
You know what, let me, they're Mormon.
Very different.
The husband is Mormon. She married him. They met at a modeling agency. She's German, African or something, and he's Mormon, and they are now both Mormons. So do you think Mormons have freaky sex?
I think it must be like a holiday to sloppy that toppy.
Like, is she giving that Hawk Tua? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Maybe the butthole.
Okay. Yo, yo. No king shaming. No king shaming. Okay, no do you know who Ice Spice is, first off?
I know the name. Is it some black chick with like blue hair?
She has different color hair. I think it's like orange now, but she has a few songs that are pretty big. Do you know Central C?
Yeah.
He's a rapper.
The British guy. Okay. The grind, yeah, okay. UK grind.
And do you know his ex-girlfriend Mads? And do you know the drama between these three?
No.
Okay, so me. Central C and Mads used to be dating up until Central C was in a music video with Ice Spice, where it was very heavily alluded to that they hooked up prior to or after filming, and they posted on TikTok, and Mads, the girlfriend, is like, yo, what the fuck? Commented on the post, and basically, very publicly, that's how they broke up. She saw it and was like, I guess we're broken up now. And like Central C's like manager agent contacted her basically doing the breakup. I don't know. It's like some real sloppy breakup. Ice Spice and Central C aren't even together. It was like Ice Spice was seen with some other dude. But yeah. Real crazy, messy drama.
Yeah.
Okay.
How can I be homophobic? My bitch is gay.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Do you know about the Cashew AirPod?
No. What the fuck? What is happening on TikTok?
Speaking another language. Okay, it's this trend where girlfriends.
You can make something
no,
up.
No, I did. I swear. Comment down below if you know any of these trends, guys. Okay, so it's this trend where like you go to your dad or your boyfriend or somebody and you're like, hey, listen to this song, I love it. Or like, hey, listen to this, tell me what you think. But instead of an AirPod, you put a cashew in their ear and they're like, I don't hear shit. And they're like, no, I'm playing. Just listen closely. He's like, no, I don't hear it. And that's the whole prank. Okay,
I'm hyped for the future.
Here's one I'm thinking you will know. Do you know the mayor sister, particularly Ilana Mayor?
Oh, yeah. The rugby player, U.S. rugby.
Yes.
She's a beast.
Yeah, she's a beast. She's killing it on TikTok. Everybody loves her. She's like America's darling right now. Okay.
Well, and she's pushing back on like all the fucking masculine hate.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There's a lot of people that are like, hey, that's a man. And she's just like, hey.
That's not cool, dude. Do you know about LeBron James and like the crowd singing You Are My Sunshine? My only sunshine.
No.
Okay, no. It's just like this thing, like towards the end of last season, people would sing that in the crowd to him, basically because like they love LeBron. Some of it's ironic, some of it's non-ironic. Basically, just like everybody fucking loves LeBron. He's the GOAT. Okay, this last one, Hardball. I'm sure you've heard this, but I'm asking if you can deconstruct it. Do you know about the coconut tree quote from Kamala?
Yeah, we all live in the context of.
Okay,
you just woke up from a coconut tree, something like that, right?
Yeah, let me read it to you exactly. And I'm going to ask you, what does it mean to you? And can you explain what you think she's trying to say? Okay.
Okay.
Let's see. She said,
we all live in the context of that came before us. Give me a
second. We got to pull this up.
Fun fact, I just completely pushed back my meeting. Like,
you think you just
minutes.
Fell out of a coconut tree? Oh my God, this is a terrible quote. Why is it only the first half? I need the second half. What the fuck is going on? One sec. My speakers just died.
You have to fast forward through this part.
Okay. Okay, you think you just fell out of a coconut tree? You exist in the context of all in which you live and what came before you. One sec, let me get my other headphones.
Oh, am I just playing off the speakers?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, read it to me.
What does that mean to you, Miguel? Okay, let's read it one more time. Okay. From Kamala Harris, our ex-vice president and Democratic, likely Democratic nominee. You think you just fell out of a coconut tree? Ha 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 ha. You exist in the context of all in which you live and what came before you. What do you think? What does that mean? And what does that mean to you?
I would say what maybe she's trying to say is you can't play the I'm new here card, because everything that is in front of you is part of what you've contributed to and what everyone's contributed to. And so you can't act like this has nothing to do with you. So I think the coconut, waking up from the coconut tree thing, is like a Wizard of Oz type, like, you didn't just get here. You've been here, and everyone that's around you has influenced where you are now. I know that's like a really unusually, like, not deep version, and it almost is just like a repeat of what she's saying. But I think honestly she's trying to sound deeper than what she's actually saying.
Interesting. I've literally never heard that interpretation. I actually think what she said is pretty profound. And my interpretation is completely different. I think she's saying more like, the way I took it is like, you're not just Miguel and a liberal dude. Like, you are who you are because of your mother and her mother and who raised her and how your environment shaped you to have the views that you have today. And I think as a politician saying that to a crowd, I think is really interesting because, you know, she's speaking to people who are very opinionated, whether for her or against her. And she's trying to say, like, your opinion isn't like you fell out of a coconut tree, meaning like you didn't just wake up with these opinions. These opinions are the results of the context, like the environment, your parents that all came before you. And you're kind of like the byproduct of being shaped by your environment. And you aren't like a self-form, and to have some humility in your own viewpoints and to know that, like, I think that's really interesting for politicians to say anyways.
Oh, that's a very well-spoken way. It's a very well-spoken way to interpret it. I guess something I might look into, we should look into, because her dad is Jamaican. I wonder if that's like a saying, you know, like a saying in Jamaica. Hmm. You know, like someone will say something and
I didn't think of that. Yeah.
Like, knock on wood might not mean anything outside of America. So I wonder if like,
Knock on wood came from China, but
you get what I mean.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, and that is the pod. Thanks for listening, guys.
For the Patreon subscribers, you're gonna get this right away. If a lot of what we're saying sounds dated, that's because you're not a Patreon subscriber and you didn't get this right away. And so if you're listening to this late, and you're wondering, Nate's trying to go freelance, Miguel is considering open a gym, I want to help them out, then consider subscribing to our page and to support us as a sponsor on our Patreon. This is where Nate plugs in the Patreon link.
Yeah, it'll be somewhere maybe, or
somewhere know, here. Nowhere. And if you're interested in hearing more about our journeys, follow me on Instagram at Miguel Mariano. You can also send me money on Venmo. I will dedicate a shot to you. Venmo is Miguel
Mariano. Wait, a shout out or a shot? Wait, what did you say?
Yeah, both. Okay. And if you wanna follow Nate, then you can find him on his YouTube, Instagram, and Venmo. Yeah. Nate, give him away.
The Venmo threw me off. We haven't done that in a bit in a while. Venmo on Nathaniel Dash Show. Instagram, Anchovies, TikTok, and YouTube. I'm Who's Nathaniel Cho. Follow me there, guys. That's the pod, everybody. Sorry it's been a while. We both were on vacation for a little bit. We're probably going to get back to regularly uploading. But yeah, that's it, guys. Thank you for listening.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.